3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody. I'm super excited about our guest today on the Rainmaker Podcast. We got my friend Brian Mendenhall here, and he's going to be taking you through his journey, how he went from where he started to building an amazing business in life insurance. Brian, man, it's definitely a pleasure to have you on, man. Thank you so much.
Man, thank you for having me, Antoro. I appreciate you, man. It's an opportunity that I don't take lightly, man. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure, man. And you know, we've been following each other for a little while, so it's good to, one, to kind of partner up. But then the second thing, it was good to see you in Miami and dap up and spend some time at the Hall of Fame dinner. Definitely didn't get a chance to spend as much time because there was a lot going on there, but definitely was good to connect. But yeah, man, let's dive right in. Take me back to the beginning. When did you realize that you were a little bit different and you didn't want to go the traditional route and you kind of got that entrepreneurial itch to do your own thing?
Hey, man, it's kind of funny how it actually happened, Antoro. So, man, I started off as a janitor. I don't know if a lot of people actually know this, but I really wanted a gym membership. I was 17 years old. I started working as a janitor, cleaning up the gym, wiping down machines, cleaning the toilets at Bally Total Fitness back in the day. And again, it was all for a free gym membership. Wow. And I kind of fell in love with the passion of working out from my Uncle Rick. And dude, I found that I actually cared about people. I cared about helping people. I used to be wiping down the machines, but because I would see people doing the exercises wrong, I would go to him and say, hey, you're doing that all wrong. Like, let me show you what you're doing. You're doing it wrong. And the manager would, like, I started getting complaints, Antoro, because I was raw and I was a little bit rough, right? But the manager saw that I actually cared. And he said, hey, go to the people and say, can I suggest something to you? Dude, I started doing that, Antoro, and these people would start bringing people to me. Like, I'm the janitor. They would bring people in to work out with me. And I was 17. When I turned 18, he said, can I please talk to your mom? Because my mom was trying to force me to go to school. College wasn't really for me. I knew it wasn't going to be for me. And he said, let me just talk to her. I think you'll be great at membership sales. And his name's Rick Moore. I'll give him a shout out. He actually ended up being one of my agents in the future, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
He talked to my mom. My mom said, all right, for one semester, he can try it. And, dude, I literally took off like a bat out of you know where and just started my natural passion to serve and teach people. Dude, they started bringing people in every day looking for Brian, 5-10 people a day, and I'm taking them through workouts. I ended up being the number one counselor in the country. So that was what started me in something different. See, Antoro, my whole family, they're all correction officers. Every single one of them, my mom, my grandpa, my aunts, my uncles, everybody did that. So I'm the only one that went a different route. It was a little scary, I ain't gonna lie to you, because all of them said guaranteed money, it was guaranteed pension, it was security, and I went the way where it was commission-based sales. But what I knew about commission, and it was scary, but what I knew about commission is nobody could put a cap on how much I can make, right?
Right.
So I kind of got excited about it. What I didn't think about, and I didn't care about it because I was 18 at the time, I actually started working at LA Fitness, right?
Yeah.
And the money I felt was great. I was making 120 grand a year.
Wow.
But I was working 70 to 80 hours a week. I didn't have a quality of life, but I actually was able to sustain a living, but I just didn't have any life, right? I stayed there for 10 years working, grinding. Never actually had the time to do anything. And one day, man, after 10 years, I looked around and I said, I'm looking at some of these people. They're miserable. They're not happy. I'm looking, I'm saying, if I did this another 10 years, would I be exactly where they are? I said, I need a vacation. How about they told me a tour I couldn't take a vacation? And they actually told me if I take a vacation, I don't have a job on Monday.
Wow.
So what I actually did was I took a vacation.
Hang on one second. Pause. Go.
So I tell them I'm taking a vacation.
Right.
They say, you take a vacation, you no longer have a job.
Wow.
Guys, they call me on Monday. They say, where you at? Hey, Chad, remember I'm on vacation? He said, you no longer work here. Boom, whatever is done. Guys, I didn't know what I was going to do. I'll be honest. I felt a little down and out. I knew my passion was always helping people. I liked working with people. I didn't know anything else but membership sales, selling gym memberships. And I actually got lucky, man. I went on a Craigslist ad, and it was a little small ad, and it said, hey, we got more clients than agents. We need your help. On average, every client you help, you make about $500. Wow. And I was like, I didn't know what it was. It did not say life insurance. I promise you that.
Yeah, it never does, does it?
It did not. So I literally went to a hotel room. It was Monday night, 7 o'clock at night. And there was like 25, 30 people in the room. I remember sitting in the back of that room, and the guy that stood up front had this real nice suit on. Everything he was talking about sounded amazing because he was talking about helping families, making a difference, having fun, and also making money. And I'm like, those are all the things I like. So yes. 40 minutes into the presentation, he says life insurance. I won't lie to you. I almost got up and walked out the room. Just because, like, you figure life insurance, you probably think it's almost up there with, like, a woman's shoe salesman, like Al Bundy or something, right?
Yeah.
So, but I stuck around, man. And it's funny because that first year, like, not knowing anything, once I got my license, I didn't know anything, but I stumbled and I fumbled and I made so many mistakes. But what I realized is at the end of the year, I ended up making 120 grand, which is what I was making at the gym.
Right.
But only 40 hours a week.
Mm.
So, and when I realized that, I said, you know what? If I can do this,
yeah,
I believe anybody that actually cares about people can actually do this. That was a practice company. That was a long time ago. And then since then, like, it was funny because I went through a progression where I went from that first year at 120 to the second year, 200. And every year, just learning a little something more, right? Mm-hmm. The next 3 years, I was stuck at a cap, though. I actually got capped, Totoro, where it was the leadership, it was the system, it was the lead, it was a lot of stuff, but I'll take credit for it, whatever. I was stuck at 250. I could not break past that. And then I partnered with the team that I'm with now and the partnership I have now, and I was able to go through the roof, man. That year, I more than doubled my income. And more importantly, at that point, I stopped being selfish.
Mm.
So the first 5 years that I was in this business,
right,
I was so selfish, I didn't even tell other people what I was doing.
Mm.
Like, I was making money, but I still almost somewhat felt a little embarrassed to be an insurance salesperson. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
If everybody's keeping it real, like, you thought before at one point, oh, what did you do? Like, you're a little ashamed of it. Right. And I was. But then I got to a point, I said, wait a minute. We make it more than lawyers. We make it more than doctors. And for a fact, what we do is more powerful than what they do.
Yeah.
What other profession can you take a product and change a family's life with one swipe of a pen? One press of a button, now somebody's in a position where they're protected. So not only did I then now go out and protect a bunch of families on my own, but I started building an agency. I started pouring into people. And at that point, I got to say, I'm probably responsible for a lot of Hall of Fame producers. That's guys doing over 400 families helped in a year, over $400,000 for the year. And I'm not going to say responsible because they did the work. I just added a little bit of what I do. I bring the emotions. I bring the energy. I bring the showing the clients that you're actually a person and that you actually care about them. See, I lead with the heart. When you go in the house and you're with that family and you lead with the heart, they hear you, they feel you, and they can believe you. They also see the other side of it. When agents go in and they try to fake it till they make it, and they try to act like they care.
Right.
They can see that. They smell the commission breath, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to dive into some of that for sure, because I think that's important. So let's go back, because, all right, practice company, you do pretty good. What was that first, like, 30 days like for you, you know, with the practice company?
Oh, man, it was horrible. it was horrible. They said, hey, you know what? Here's leads. Here's some leads or whatever. Call them. You'll figure it out. There was, like, right now, I feel like a lot of our agents, when they come in now, they got to be spoiled because the systems, the trainings, and everything that we have is so much out there. Like, you can literally type in Brian Mendenhall on YouTube, and you'll see tons of training.
Yes.
It wasn't like that. It was literally, here's the leads. Whole life, we'll cover them for the rest of their life. Term, will stop at either 10, 15, or 20 years, and then it's over. That's your training. Good luck. And, I mean, I still figured it out. It also was hard, though, I tell you, Arturo, because I was almost like, I would give you the analogy of, I was always treading water trying to survive another day. Actually, I wouldn't even say another day. I was treading water trying to survive another minute, another hour once I got a little better, another week, another month as I got better and better, because I started off at a 55% commission rate. Like, wow. That was horrible. And to survive, knowing that you got to reinvest money back into your business, it was serious, man. That first couple years was actually serious until you started to get some, you know, actually, I was thinking I got renewals. Didn't even get renewals there. Hey, man, is it okay to talk about, and I don't want to start attacking people, but a lot of people don't realize what the industry is about in some places. Like, I didn't realize or know anything about that I wasn't even getting my renewals.
Wow. Like,
is that okay to talk about?
Let's go. Let's get into it. Let's keep it real on this show. We're going to keep it real on this show.
All right, if we're keeping it real, like, some companies will go after people that have no experience in the insurance industry because they know they can pull it over your eyes.
Wow. See, why is that?
So here's the deal. But at the gym, Arturo, every time I sold a gym membership, I made $100. Okay. Every time at 55%, which I thought was a lot, because mm-hmm. you only got 10% of the membership sale, 55, I thought was a lot. $500 is a lot. But no, every single sale that's made, there's a pizza, right? And if there's a pizza of every sale that's made and I'm getting half, but I'm doing all the work, no, that's not fair.
Right.
I should be paying the lion's share for what I'm doing. And those renewals, if you look at renewals and you understand now that you're in the industry, those renewals, it's like an insurance agent's retirement plan. That's your pension plan that you work hard for. And I was buying somebody else a private jet, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like that. I like taking care of the agents, putting the agents first. And I want everybody to know. I'm exposing everybody. I don't care. If it's not right, it shouldn't be done. I'll just put it out there, man.
Yeah, 100%. And I appreciate that, man. It's one of those things where transparency is the thing that we lack in. Because now in this age and the age of social media and being online, trust is at an all-time low. And the first thing, like you said, you got to lead with the heart. People don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And then the second thing is radical transparency. When you can tell somebody, yeah, you can do X, Y, and Z, but what are you willing to give up in order to get it? Because I can show you exactly what to do, but I'm not going to tap you on the shoulder and wake you up every single day so that you can go out and get it. You got to be disciplined and self-motivated. And if you can bring those two things to me, I can teach you anything that you need to know, right? So... So take me back, right? So first 30 days was difficult. You kind of made it through. You switch over to this company and have your breakout, right? So when did it shift? When did you realize that, oh, man, okay, it was the vehicle that I was in, and you figured out that you were like, okay, I'm going to build something and I'm going to make a bunch of money.
So it was when I actually joined the Family First. And I just realized it's unlimited potential. I realized that the leadership was actually teaching you not only to go out and sell, but actually to build a business. And they wanted you to have something for yourself and for your family. And then I realized that I actually own my own business. See, I didn't own anything before. It could just be taken away from me. And that's a different thought process. Hmm. See, I have a family. I got three boys that I'm looking after. And God forbid, when I'm not here, I want them to have something. And I'm building something for their future, mm-hmm. you know? I also, there was a point in the industry where I didn't understand reinvesting. Okay. So you said something about like the type of people that you're looking for.
Yes.
I'm looking for a certain type of person, right?
Who is that?
There's three things I'm looking for when I'm looking for an agent. The first and most important to me is that they have an attitude of gratitude. They're grateful, because you got to think about how much we pour our hearts into other people to help them win. When they're not grateful, it's hard. It saps your energy, right?
Yeah.
That's the first one. The second one is I'm looking for somebody with work ethic. So when people have work ethic, I don't think you can really teach it. You either have it or you don't. Yeah. I think you can make it a little bit better, but that person that has that work ethic is through the roof. The last thing, which this is always a bonus, Satoru, if they don't have it, I can teach them. But business acumen, understanding reinvesting into the business, understanding reinvesting back into yourself. That's huge. Now, here's the deal. I'll sacrifice the third one. Let me explain. So if somebody has business acumen, right, but they don't have any type of work ethic, then they're just going to be a cheerleader because they have the gratitude. Does that make sense?
Yeah, now, 100%. If somebody has the
business acumen, right, and they don't have the gratefulness, then they're just a jerk to work with. They're just that person that always wants to take and they feel entitled. That being said, that business acumen was what I was missing. I've always had the work ethic. I've always been grateful for whatever somebody's given me, advice, whatever it would be. The business acumen is what I learned. And there was one massive thing that took us from $300,000 a month to over $1 million a month to our biggest month being $1.9 million a month. And it was pulling out the emotions. See, this is crazy. Check this out. I'm very passionate. If you ever heard me train, I get in, I tell the truth. Like, I'm very transparent. I get emotional. I get the clients emotional. But I thought passion and emotion were the same. I thought they were here. They're not, and they don't have to be. So you can actually be passionate, remove the emotion, still be passionate, but not make emotional decisions. And that's what I started to do. Back in 2019, I said, I'm not making any more emotional, I'm sorry, 2020. I said, I'm not making any more emotional decisions. And I saw my business more than triple. And that changed my life. And I never looked back, man.
Yeah, for sure. And I can remember watching your videos a ton. And there's that one presentation where you're in the home. And that's the one that stood out to me the most. And so, you know, like you said, you've probably trained and been responsible for multiple Hall of Famers, which is absolutely amazing. So walk me through that. What are some of the 3 to 4 characteristics of successful people that come into this business? What are those traits that those people have?
I would say the first thing is, man, that they're coachable, you know, they're teachable. See, here's the thing. A lot of people have had success at other ventures. And sometimes they're not humble enough to be able to come here and say, all right, but I don't know this. Because they've had success, a lot of those people...
Pause. Go.
So the first one I would say would be, I'm looking for someone that's coachable. Someone that's coachable, they're teachable. You can actually take that person and have them go so far. A lot of people will come on board, start in insurance, have already been successful in their last venture or made a bunch of money, and they can't humble themselves to learn this business. See, this is different. That's huge. Another thing I would probably say is, this is one of the biggest killers, and it takes a lot of people out of the business, is people actually start having success, and they ride that roller coaster up. Every time they have a success, they go real high. And then when they have a bad time, something falls off, a couple chargebacks, they go way down. Now, that roller coaster ride going up and down is a very dangerous place. I tell people, if you need to have people with enough emotional intelligence to stay even keel, that's strong. And then we already talked about people having the business acumen. I think somebody that doesn't actually count the pennies, I think cheap doesn't look good on anybody, okay? Cheap doesn't look good on anybody. So someone that comes in and they just penny pinch and don't want to invest and put money back into their business, they're always going to struggle. They're never going to be able to get ahead, right? And the last thing I would say, man, and not to get like weird about it, some people, they're not religious, they don't believe in anything, but I truly believe people that can come in here and actually have faith. So you can have faith or fear, but you can't have both. You got to choose one. So if you have the faith of a mustard seed that this thing is going to work, and you actually believe in it, I think you'll be successful.
Yeah.
Plugging into the right person, though, is almost everything.
Yeah. Let me add a point to that, because I think you just dropped a couple gems here, and I don't want to. I'll be remiss if I didn't kind of back up and talk about those things. So the one thing about the scarcity mindset with the penny pinching, right? And there's a saying that a good tattoo ain't cheap, and a cheap tattoo isn't good. And the same thing for a good suit. right? And so if you, in order to go up, right, you got to grow up, right? And a lot of people want change, but they're only willing to invest change. And so you really got to shift from a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset, which is like, we just seen they printed more money in the last 2 to 3 years than they have in human history. So it's not like money is going anywhere, right? You got to tap in the mindset so that you can start to understand that money coming to you. You just need to become a person that is worthy to receive that. And then the second thing is like Brian said, is, you know, there's some, whenever you want to follow somebody, there's a lot of people to listen to, but my litmus test is you want to follow these three things. Is one is that they have actually achieved the thing that you're looking to achieve, right? Because a lot of times we end up getting duped and following people off of social media or all these other things based off of just superficial and financial things, right? So that can be one characteristic. But number two is you want to make sure that they've been able to help dozens of people that are just like you achieve that goal as well. And then number three, which is probably the most important, is you want to make sure that they align with the values that you have, which is why Brian is saying that. So it's not weird. It's true. Because if you measure somebody by those three categories, then guess what? It automatically tunes out 80 to 90% of the people that you shouldn't be listening to. And there's only a handful of people that you should be listening to.
Yeah, Tora, I want to say something on that, man. It's kind of crazy. I think about it now. Remember I told you I love helping people win? Like, I got to a point where I was just winning back to back to back to back. And it was cool to win. But then I figured something out. I figured out when I started hiring people and helping people, I get more fired up to see my guys win than me. So I had a problem, though. The one problem, and I got over this recently. You know, I got over this in the last few years. But I used to actually get sick over it. I used to want people to win so bad, that more than they wanted it for themselves. Mm. And that's not healthy. That's not healthy. I've since changed it. So I meet people where they are. I'm all in. I'll literally give somebody 100% if they're all in. But the second that they pull back, guarantee I'm on to somebody else that actually wants it. Hmm. I hope that makes sense. I'm not trying to come off as a jerk, but that is important to me because I've already used to put myself through it. Now, you got to look out there, man. There's so many people hungry for an opportunity. And if somebody's willing to pour into them, show them how they can go out and make $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 of real money, changing their lives, changing their families' lives, they're willing to do anything for that. And there's some people that aren't going to do anything for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, man. And again, the Jim Rohn says is, give me somebody that's most passionate about anything. I'll take them, right? And he talks about the story of Saul that ends up getting converted into Paul. And he says, he's on this road and he sees him and he says, that's my man, Saul. And so he lightning strikes him, knocks him off his horse and grinds his face in the dirt. Well, the reason why he picked Saul is because he was passionate about everything. And so back then he was somebody who persecuted Christians. And so he realized that Paul had the right passion, but he had the wrong message. And so what he was able to do is he was able to convert that person. And of course, Paul went on to be one of the founding members of creating the church. And so I use that story to say is that, like, you know, if you don't have work ethic, if you don't have passion, you don't have that gratitude, those are the perfect ingredients that make up success in this business. Because the reason why that's important, people who may be looking at this don't understand, is because there's this science. Tony Robbins talks about this all the time. There's a science of achievement and the art of fulfillment. And if you don't have that gratitude of the service that you're doing and you're just going after this superficial goal, no matter how much money you make, you will still not be happy. Okay? So let's talk about skill set, right? Because you are known as one of the best trainers, right? So what are a couple things in regards to sales that you feel that if you kind of go through these 3 to 4 steps on any sales call, whether you're selling cars, selling insurance or whatever, like this process of what you need to understand from a foundational process of having a conversation with a prospect and taking them from a stranger to turning them into a lifelong friend and customer? What does that journey look like from a sales training perspective?
I'll just keep it simple. Basically, man, every single person you talk to, like, they're just another person until they know how much you care about them, right? And once they know how much you care about them, they start opening up. I've always been the one to make sure I share something personal about myself, because I'm about to ask them like a social security number. I'm about to ask for a bank account. I'm gonna ask for them to open up their whole world to me. They're gonna know something personal about me. They're gonna know now from that, the next thing they're gonna know is that I'm passionate about what I'm doing. Why I'm passionate about what I'm doing. I'm gonna tell a story about why I'm passionate about what I'm doing. My Aunt Tina, everybody's heard that story a million times, but I tell that story to every single one of my clients, and that I was not able to get her coverage because I didn't press the fact. And once they hear that passion, they feel it, that transfer of emotion, like they're like, this guy's real. Most of them, what they tell me at that point is, I can tell you love what you do. See, when you love what you do, you're not ever going to work a day in your life, right?
Right.
Then what I'm doing is, at that point, they trust me. Once they're trusting me, man, I'm literally just asking them, can I be honest with you? And, you know, do I have your permission to be honest with you, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent? I'm opening them up to where now they can tell me anything. Arturo, I've always said this. In the beginning, in the question and asking period, like where you're asking questions, going through like a financial needs analysis, finding out what they need, that's Disneyland. Everything's cakewalk and cookies. Everything's nice and easy, right? Mm-hmm. But then when you ask for the sale, that's Jurassic Park.
Right.
It gets real. But if you've done your job opening them up, letting them know who you are, letting them know why you're passionate, why you love what you're doing, get them to tell you everything and trust you, at that point now, you can use all the stuff that they told you to help them. So I've always said, help me help you. They're right. Giving me all the ammunition I need on my belt. So when they say something crazy, hey, I want to think about this. Hey, Bob and Mary, I understand you want to think about it. But remember when you told me this, you're not going to be able to stay in the same home. Your kids can't stay in the same school. Your wife's up a creek without a, like everything comes out because they told it all to me. And at that point, they get to see how much I care. I challenge the clients. I've never been afraid to challenge. That's the last thing. Would you know that most, and this is embarrassing, we got to have some respect for ourselves. Did you know most insurance agents, you know how many times they ask for a sale?
No.
Do you know? Most insurance agents ask for a sale once. And guess what? Some never even ask. Some are too afraid to even ask for a sale. That's crazy to me. But it's true. Here's the deal. I will challenge them because I know for a fact, 9 times out of 10, nobody else is coming behind me, knocking down the door, trying to protect this family. I might be the only shot that this family has to get some coverage. When you go in there with that mindset, and you go in there and you say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna treat this client as if they were like my family member.
Yeah.
If you treated them like they were your family member and you knew they were going to die with no coverage, what would you say?
Yeah.
What would you do? How much would they know you cared? Would you let them say some crap that doesn't make any sense and you not challenge them?
Yeah.
No, you challenge them because you care.
Yeah. And to your point to that, that makes sense. And that's that whole thing about the passion thing. So whenever we have a mastermind events like we have in the Agent Accelerator program, I always lead with this one. It's like, you know, you got to get your mindset together whenever you're going into a situation. And sometimes, you know, your mindset is the entire battle. And I always say, I heard this story before and I always use it. So imagine you're an agent and you're about to go up to this prospect's door and a little angel comes down on your shoulder and says, Arturo, you know, you're going to this house and this person really needs your help. So do whatever you can to not leave this house without an application filled out. And the reason why is because this person doesn't know it, but they only got 90 days to live. And they've got a kid and a wife and a daughter in there. And without you, this is the only time they're going to have this conversation with anybody. So this is their only chance for their family to not be in financial ruin. And if you go into it with that mindset, right, that you're going to do whatever it takes to fight for that client, knowing that they're in that situation, it really changes your perspective and things in your mindset, for sure.
You know, the way you said that, the way you broke it down, I mean, that's exactly what it is. I get over the fear of being judged. I think a lot of people really care so much about what people think. And I really don't care. I just want them to know that I'm coming from a place where I actually care. And outside of that, they can think whatever they want. I've done some crazy stuff in the house. I've said some crazy stuff but it's all because I care.
Yeah,
I always
sure.
I always say every time I'm with a client, I have to win that battle. That battle of just helping them get a policy in place, I have to win it so they can win the war against poverty, the war against dying with no coverage, the war against leaving a horrible legacy. Everybody's going to leave a legacy no matter what. It's up to them. It's up to us, actually, if they leave a good one or a bad one. They got to make a choice. It's our job to help them choose.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Brian, man, this has been absolutely phenomenal. And I can say without a doubt from all of the content, endless hours of anybody that you talk to, that you by far are one of the best leaders and one of the best trainers. So if anybody's watching this and they resonate with your story, this is going to go out to hundreds of thousands of people, existing agents, 9-to-5ers looking to become recession proof. And they've listened to your story and they're like, man, you know what? I really like the passion and the fire of this guy. And I want to reach out to him. Where can they connect with you?
Man, they can text me, man. They can call me on my personal cell. I'm going to give you that. It's 215-900-0506. I'm also on Instagram, Brian, B-R-Y-A-N dot Mendenhall, M-E-N-D-E-N. H-A-L-L, same exact thing on TikTok.
Awesome, man. Well, dude, this has been great. It definitely was great to connect with you. And it's definitely always a pleasure and breath air to find somebody that's just as passionate or even more passionate about what they do. But more importantly, they wake up every single day on fire, loving what they do, man. This has been great. Thank you so much.
Hey, man, what you're doing is amazing. Keep leading from the front, man. I'm proud of you. I do remember what you were doing before. It's not this. And yeah, man, thank you for everything you do. Keep blowing it up, man.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the Rainmaker Podcast. That is Brian Mendenhall. And again, you can find him at Brian-Mendenhall on Instagram. We'll see you in the next episode.